AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Guys, we're going to do a true and false round to kick us off. Go. This week, a Conservative MP stated that high food prices were good because it means people are eating less and they're therefore healthier. True or false?
I'll go with true.
I feel like that's true. But then I'm worried I've heard something similar, and that's the deception. I think it's true.
The problem is I have heard something similar.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Why I'm a bit, yeah, true. I'm going to go with.
Yeah.
You're both going true?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's false, but funny that you still thought that.
It's because I heard a quote about them saying, like, you know, shrinkflation, that's a good thing because people are eating less and therefore they're healthier. And I'm like, that quote feels worse than the one you just gave. So I'm like, I wouldn't put it past them. Because France are doing a thing where if they shrink the product, they have to tell the customer. Whereas in the UK, we're like, that's great, less people on the NHS. I'm like, it's an aero bar, Brev. Calm yourself.
I mean, it's no different to what the Bank of England are doing with their inflation policy and trying to bring inflation down. Because you're sort of accepting that you're going to break business in order to do that. Because you need people to spend less. And therefore, there are less businesses. And then you've got... you'll flip the economy over eventually by doing that, is the thinking.
There was a theory they were trying to engineer a recession, and they kind of did that. And the other problem is we don't know what metrics they actually use to calculate inflation, because we know like energy bills go up by like a rapid amount and then inflation's at like 2%, and you're like, that doesn't sound right.
No, it doesn't. Okay, round two. UK ranked second for foreign investment this week. The UK ranked second for foreign investment this week.
No idea. I'll just say true for the sake of being consistent, and I'll sip my coffee.
I'll go with false because I feel like Keir Starmer would have said it by now. It'd been everywhere. Like, look, guys, we're getting growth. We got foreign direct investment. So I'll go false.
It's true. We are second. Oh. Second in the world.
I knew I was going to accomplish this.
1-0. It's interesting though that you were saying that Starmer hadn't brought it up. It's absolutely true. It's not been well advertised. It was only because I'm a bit of a nerd and research this stuff that it actually came up. But it's good news, but then you never hear good news in the news, do you? It's
always a point. You think you'd have tweeted something like, don't worry guys, we're going to start building again, we've got the second highest foreign direct investment. Or maybe because it's foreign they don't want to announce it, I don't know. Maybe they're like, oh, the Brexiters will be angry.
Sounds bad.
But we've got the second highest direct investment. From who?
Can't say.
No Russian.
Actually, I did notice this week with Starmer's tweets that they seem to be a bit more aggressive. Has anyone else been following that?
Yeah, it's like no to blockers, yes to builders or something like that.
Yeah, like he's trying to become a little bit more assertive, and I was like, okay, maybe.
Probably McSweeney, innit? He probably looked at Thingy's homework. What's the last guy's name? The Bold Geezer. And was like, short, snappy slogans. That's what we need again.
Cummings.
And so that's what he's doing. Yeah, that's the one, yeah. Probably copying his homework. It's like, not three words, about five, but... You know,
there's a rumor kicking around that he's working. That Dominic Cummings is working with Musk.
That's why we're being
hammered so much.
The fact that grooming gangs are so specific, I think that one feels true. But the thing is, at that point, I don't think Cummings went with the Savile slur originally when Boris Johnson put it out. So I don't know. I don't know if it would be him. It'd be interesting to see like if that's true. It's possible. I mean, the guy's bored and he's very petty. The fact that he was briefing against his boss's wife was crazy. Like, that is...
Okay, are we talking about Musk or Cummings?
Cummings. Cummings, yeah. Musk is the boss, isn't it? So, like, you know, he's in charge. So, unless he's briefing against Melania, which would be hilarious. I don't even know what he'd say about her. He was like, yeah, she wore a big-ass hat. How mean is that?
Meme coin.
Yeah. two meme coins. Melania's got one, and Trump's got one, yeah.
Yeah. She's got her own now.
What?
A strong, independent woman with her own meme coin.
Yeah, it's like a meme coin, yeah. It's like...
Yeah, she's got her own crypto.
There was a guy who lost £1 million on crypto this week because he was investing it in Donald Trump's...
People are idiots, man. The Huck Tour coin thing, I was just like, I've lost faith. Like, if they're going to nuke us, you might as well now. Because like, people lost money on that. I'm like, bro, you guys...
I think
guys
that really regularly. I think that
like,
quite...
Just let the aliens just win at this point. Yeah. Like, there's no way we're beating aliens if people are this dumb.
I don't even begin to imagine what Trump would do. He'd probably, like... probably order a nuke strike on France, thinking that they're the aliens or something fucking stupid.
So this cheese smells. What the hell? What kind of food is this?
Yeah, it's alien.
What do you mean? What do you mean they don't put ketchup on steak and they eat it a rare? It's nonsense.
Question three. The Church of England is going to set up its own TikTok this week.
I'm going to say false because I have some small hope for humanity. But
honestly,
not a fan. Not a fan of it.
Of the church or TikTok, because the answer is the same either way.
It's true.
Oh, back in the game. 1-1. 1-1.
1-1. Oh, last round.
That's depressing in every sense.
As Valentine's Day is coming around the corner, in ancient Rome, they celebrated Valentine's Day by sacrificing a goat and hitting women with animal hides.
Oh, they did loads of that stuff. That could be true. I'm going to commit to the bit and just say it's true and wash my hands of it.
I'm going to go false. It's a winning point here, but I'm going to go false.
It's true.
My life. That's an L.
The beginnings of the Christian church. Chasing women around and hitting them with hides.
Yeah, they were doing all kinds of stuff like that back in those days.
The height of civilization.
Well done, Emma, for winning the true and false round. Right, let's get
pure luck. Pure luck.
Skill.
Yeah, I've heard that before by many, many a poker player.
Right.
That's how you end up getting hustled badly. Welcome, everyone, to the Sunday Roast and our special guest for this week, Emma. Second time on, please, can you just give a brief introduction of yourself?
Hello, my name is Emma Thorne, and I have a little YouTube channel where I talk about all sorts of things. It is a generic, eclectic commentary channel, so politics, religion, movie reviews. It really is all over the place, and I'm very happy to be back. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being back on. I've got to ask about your last video with the guy who seemed to do a review of you but never said anything about what you were saying that was incorrect.
This is his stream, is just watching my video with his headphones on going.
Very quick rundown for you. I don't know why I can't see it. It's spelled right. In the Gospel of Luke, an angel appears to Mary. In the Gospel of Matthew, an angel appears to Joseph. As mentioned, Luke contains the census of Cornelius. Fucking Cornelius. Get a better name. As we just established, Luke contains the census of Cornelius. Then Mary and Joseph travel to Bethlehem from Nazareth. Matthew mentions the census of Jesus just born in Bethlehem. Mary is. In Luke, we have the adoration of the shepherds in Bethlehem. In Matthew, we have no shepherds, and instead three magi. Or actually, there's a number of magi. We just assume there are three magi because they need three gifts. Kind of interesting side fact on the assumptions we make about the stories we're actually reading. You may know them as wise men or three kings. Three kings of Orient are. One in a taxi, one in a car. The magi go to see Herod.
We're just watching my whole. There's nothing. I've got nothing to say because he's not saying anything. There's not even anybody in the chat saying anything. The only comment, apart from the people running the show, has been somebody saying, is she trying to be a vampire? To which I can only say, I'm not trying to be a vampire. Don't be vampirist.
Do you get that a lot? I mean, is that the reoccurring theme that they don't have much of an argument against you?
Something that is quite popular is doing... It goes across those kind of collected, like, similar... sort of things. They're like conspiracy channels, right-wing Christian channels, or that kind of collective. Flat Earth is especially strong with this. There was the minute a video of mine finished premiering once, a Flat Earth channel like started a live stream and did a 3-hour live stream reviewing it. There will be just 3-hour streams that sort of like look at my videos and then just sort of don't. You just sort of like, yeah, there's got to be a point in here somewhere, please, because everybody's sent me this link saying that it's about me and can I review it, and there's nothing to review yet, so.
Have you ever had a single argument that's made you go, that made me think about actually what I was saying and whether or not I had a point, or did it make you reevaluate anything?
On YouTube? Never. No, never. In real life conversations I've had with people, there can be like nice, compelling things. But I feel like YouTube is just sort of a more reactionary, or again, kind of like leans on conspiracy theories. And as soon as I start looking things up and fact checking, it's like, okay, well, they've said nothing true. So not really compelled by anything they say.
Yeah, we try and avoid that on this show. It's all about the facts and then coming to a conclusion. Madge, my co-host, please introduce yourself.
So I'm Madge. I run the Big Madge Studios YouTube channel, where we do a lot on UK politics because they don't let me sleep. Constant news stories, third runway on Heathrow, potentially. I don't know what's going on. But yeah, and you know, a guy who is an expert on some of the stuff is Alex.
Hi, I'm Alex. I'm a historian and author and journalist, and I run Political X and Sunday Roast. Right, let's get straight into this week. I wanted to get away from Trump. It's impossible. The stuff the guy comes out with. It's exactly as you said, Madge. You just switch off for like 5 minutes and some other crazy stuff comes up that he's done. I thought, as Emma, you're on this week, and obviously there's so much going on with Trump. I thought it was quite interesting that we get into the religious aspect within the Trump organization, but also slightly touch on reform as well, and how they've been saying that they're a Christian party. Mm-hmm. I mean, Trump isn't, he's broken all the commandments, hasn't he? Apart from like getting a donkey or something, is it like one of the top 10 commandments?
I bet he wears two types of fabrics as well.
Yeah. I'm sure he mixes fabrics. I'm sure he's worked on a Saturday. I'm sure, you know, all of them have. There's no, you know, it's a no true Scotsman kind of thing, isn't it, with that sort of religious thing. Yeah, I did enjoy his dressing down.
In the name of our God, I ask you to have mercy upon the people in our country who are scared now. There are gay, lesbian, and transgender children in Democratic, Republican, and independent families, some who fear for their lives. And the people who pick our crops and clean our office buildings, who labor in poultry farms and meatpacking plants, who wash the dishes after we eat in restaurants and work the night shifts in hospitals, they may not be citizens or have the proper documentation. But the vast majority of immigrants are not criminals. They pay taxes and are good neighbors. They are faithful members of our churches and mosques, synagogues, wadara, and temples. I ask you to have mercy, Mr. President, on those in our communities whose children fear that their parents will be taken away, and that you help those who are fleeing war zones and persecution in their own lands to find compassion and welcome here. Our God teaches us that we are to be merciful to the stranger.
Something I thought was kind of interesting when I was looking it up was that I was sort of inundated with separate news of various US bishops and Christian organizations condemning Trump for everything. And I was like, ooh, what an interesting, like, slight swivel. I don't know how much of that is, you know, just the slightly more progressive Christians rearing their heads now, and you know, the more conservative Christians are still Trumpites, but yeah, it was kind of interesting to see him and have a petty little comeback. Oh, they're terrible, I hate them, in his classic intelligent way of responding to criticism. Can't remember exactly what he said, but it's something about them being him being terrible, and you know, just.
I think they were asked what do they think, and he said it wasn't the most exciting service.
Thank you, Brass.
They could do much better. It's like, when the fuck have you ever had exciting church service? Like, those two words don't meld. What the fuck are you talking about? And yeah, he did. I think the journalist asked him afterwards and he lambasted it. And you're a bit like, it was really interesting because I felt she was extolling Christian morality and ethics to an extent. Being like, depending on how you want to read it. I mean, you've obviously got the Old Testament, you've got the New Testament. The New Testament, obviously, I would have gone, yeah, it's about love and helping people and not being an asshole and not being obsessed with money. I mean, you know, we can go into specifics about that and we can also debate that further. But that seemed to be what the New Testament was about in an overarching view. And yet, that's what she was telling him in a Christian sermon. And he didn't like it. Mm-hmm. He got lambasted for actually doing that to him and catching him off guard like that.
But Trump's brand of Christianity, I'm not convinced he actually is a Christian in his personal life at all, because I'm not really convinced that he believes in anything in his personal life. But his base that he appeals to, rather, within the Christian community, is the very American, like, prosperity gospel, more traditional values kind of Christian. So it's like progressive Christianity versus that, more than, you know.
Don't cheat on your wife. Stay married for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Don't have abortions.
The 10 suggestions.
Have money.
Yeah.
The 10 suggestions. Yeah.
Which he seems to struggle with on a daily basis. I don't understand why the evangelicals have gone with him. They seem to have gone quite hardcore, well, Madge.
It makes sense. I mean, they're the people who believe, like, the Jews should go back to Israel, and Trump is the guy who could make something like that happen. He's also very much anti-abortion. Like, a lot of their radical, like, their kind of things, their core kind of beliefs, he'll push. And he plays to them as well. Like, he will give them airtime when I think a lot of the other kind of Republicans wouldn't really do that. Not the mainstream ones, like Rubio, Cruz, they don't really do that as much. They're more focused on, like, tax cuts, whereas Trump focused very hard, I think, early on, at least on, like, Christians and those kind of voters. So it makes sense why they would flock to him, because he gave them enough to really latch onto, like his anti-abortion stance, things like that. And the fact that his views have changed as well, whether that's, you know, genuine or not. He was pro-abortion at one point, and then he changed. And they can see a guy who they can change.
That's a bit like Mussolini. Mussolini was an atheist. And then when he went into power to take over, he realized that he had no choice but to take over, to be able to take over Italy, he had to convert and work with the Catholic Church. Gave the Catholic Church its own sort of country status within Rome, and then started working to onboard them. And the Catholic Church then gave him support. So it's an old, I mean, Napoleon did it.
Yeah. It's called the Bible Belt for a reason. Like, he's trying to appeal a lot to those kind of voters, and he knows they'll push a message as well. They'll push it in sermons and stuff like that. And he, you know, those what's it called? TV priests or whatever, televangelists or whatever.
Televangelists.
Yeah, they'll push a message as well, because they're very popular in some parts of America. Very, very popular. Like, these guys fly in private jets, multimillionaires.
Never let yourself get caught in a rut. A wise man said, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting new results. But always remember this, movement does not always mean growth. God is love, Rev, run.
And all they do is go on TV and talk about their views on Christianity. That's it. And so, and they made millions from that. So I'm in the wrong line of work. But that's the point. You know, they've got massive reach. So if Trump has those people on board, he can push a message for free.
But does it seem to be just about abortion? Is that what they've just gone on board
well.
With? And they've just gone, okay, the lying, the cheating, the stealing, the adultery.
Yeah, we'll it's just, it is one hot button topic to the other. It will, like Maj said, it's like, it's right now it's Israel and then it's abortion and then it's this and, you know, like it.
It's those two. It's those two. I think the abortion stuff, because it gives them a lot of control over women. I think that's one of the things they do appreciate the most, because it's always, I'm anti-abortion until my mistress gets pregnant. That's generally how it goes with them. And so, like, for me personally, I think that's because these aren't real Christians. Like, they don't believe in fundamentals. That's the thing. So for them, abortion's such a big deal. And that's why when Trump got that Supreme Court, you know, he changed the Supreme Court, they would have celebrated that, because that's a massive victory to them. And so he's actually got them wins. And that's why they flocked him, because they know he'll get shit done in that area. He's good at it.
That's why the far right are also in bed with him then. Because they're going, this isn't exactly what we want, but it's close enough to get us to the next stage.
He got him the tax cuts. He stacked the Supreme Court, 7-3 or something like that. And then he's got a chance to do it again if anything does happen to any of the more left-leaning ones. So, you know, he is their guy, because he'll brute force the stuff they want. He stacked the lower courts. He stacked the higher courts. He's done everything pretty much they'd want him to do. Started beef with China. Some of them would want that. He's always on about the southern border. He's always kept that as a political topic. And then it feeds into everything, because all the news hosts, they don't have to talk about the serious stuff. They should talk about the southern border. That's it. And so he gives them most of what they would want. He's just a bad dude. At the end of the
but
day,
if you're an evangelical, surely the Ten Commandments has got to be up there as the most important thing. I know I'm using logic here, which is very difficult to sometimes use. If you've got those Ten Commandments and it's like, don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, don't commit adultery, and he's done all that, how do you square? I don't understand.
I think
how you
they
swear.
Would see that as, you know, one of the funniest arguments I had is, yeah, he did that when he was a Democrat. That was one of the funniest arguments I've heard. And I think they see him as a guy who's flawed, but he's like trying to be more better, I guess, in their view. And I think that's why they kind of, that's what they appreciate about him. Like, he changes views on abortion, like I said. He, you know, does he still steal from people? Yeah. Is he less brazen about it? Probably, yeah. And so I think with that stuff, like, is he going to commit adultery now while he's the most famous guy in the world? Like, that's going to come straight out, you know, in the news. Yeah, I don't think they can catch and kill that one. And so I think they see him as a guy who was deeply flawed, and he's trying to better himself. Because that's what evangelicals are, aren't they? Born-again Christians. So I think that's
looking
what...
at Emma on this.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I was going to say it's not dissimilar from the people that support him because he's a great businessman. I don't know if you saw, I think it was there was a Dirty Money episode or something on Trump, and they interviewed a bunch of people and said, well, you know, he lied about this and that. And they'd be like, yeah, but, you know, they're all liars.
A supermajority of voters believe that Donald Trump is dishonest. But he is not losing by a supermajority of voters, right? 60% of voters think he's a dishonest person. It's a pretty close, almost tied race for president, right?
And they think most politicians are liars.
Yeah. Exactly. All the energy we expend on, but he's a liar, but we got to call out the lies, but the headline doesn't call out the lies, and the story doesn't call out the lies, and why don't we call out the lies? It was a Biden campaign strategy for a while and around the debate. Now, I think part of it was because Biden did so poorly at the debate that they all had to come out of the debate saying, well, what about Donald Trump's lies? But then Biden sort of did that too. Going into this next debate between Kamala Harris, like, Donald Trump is going to lie at this debate. He's going to lie a ton at this debate. Pointing out his lies is not what's going to move people. Fact-checking him is not what's going to move people. And Bill Clinton told us that sending the message that all he cares about is himself, which has been a running theme of a lot of the convention speakers, some of the really good ones, this whole week, like, that's going to move people.
So, you know, so he lies because he's a good businessman. They know. It's just the thing about trying to say, and this is an intellectual disconnect that I have a lot when I'm looking at people who claim to be, you know, people of a faith of love and whatever, is like you have the logical approach of, well, this is the book and it says, shouldn't you do this? And this is how to be a good person. That's divorced from the reality, especially of being a Christian in the USA, where it's more about a culture of how you're brought up and you're taught that these topics are the important topics. Like, you might spend your whole life being anti-abortion and protesting that, but you've probably never read the Bible because that's just not, it's cultural, traditional, sort of a bit like our Christianity is here. Nobody here reads the Bible or goes to church every week, really, very few people. But there are plenty of people who would be Christian. But whatever, and then those people are affected by headlines in the media as much as anyone else. And, you know, whatever topic is being flouted by the Ben Shapiro's of the world as the latest, most important thing to talk about. So
I think it's more a spiritual thing. I think people like a sense of community. And I think churches, community for a lot of people, especially if they live in rural America or, you know, the small towns, like, you know, that's where they go meet their friends and whatever. So I think that's what it is. It's a cultural, spiritual thing for them. And so I think when those Christians kind of push those beliefs, they wouldn't care too much about the Ten Commandments. They themselves would think, I'm a good person, I follow these. Just because he doesn't is not necessarily a bad thing, because he's going to, you know, change things. You know, like I said, the anti-abortion thing, he actually got them the thing they wanted. Probably the most.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting to say that you've got this sort of split between the evangelicals that we're seeing that are supporting Trump, that essentially want to have their cultural stamp put in place across the United States. And you've got these more societal, wanting to do charitable work and help people and be a good person group of Christians. And how you've got this sort of disconnect between the two. I mean, it's reflective in the fact that the Old Testament and the New Testament are just a completely different set of rules. So you've got the classic Socrates, God can change the rules whenever he wants, or are the rules set in stone and he can't change them, in which case he's
forget,
not the Bible.
Forget Hebrew Bible, New Testament, like book to book, within the books, the rules change. Like you can't apply that kind of logical distinction to it. And it doesn't really, again, it's sort of a logical disconnect from like the outside, we're like, well, these are the rules, and Jesus said that, you know, he was here to maintain the rules, not change them, like, so. But there's like a million and one different minor sects that have different reasons for why that is not the case anymore, and like a genuine sort of historical approach to, well, these made sense at the time for those people because of, you know, like, yeah, health reasons and whatever, and we don't have to follow them anymore, and therefore new covenant, it's all fine.
That's interesting, and it makes me think of how a lot of this changed. Like, this seemed to change over the 1960s and 70s under Nixon, and Nixon and the GOP got in bed more with the evangelical right, and the societal Christians were pushed to the side. And it was in fact, it was in response to the counterculture movement that was taking place in the 1960s. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can track a lot of this. We know that Nixon hated hippies and made up a lot of stuff and did an anti-drugs campaign. And
America's public enemy number one in the United States is drug abuse.
And, you know, was happy to send in troops to shoot, or governors were happy to send in troops to shoot people who were being counterculture and against the Vietnam War. And it's interesting to see over that time period that it's changed and moved in this direction, in part because of politics. I mean, there was even a point where it was very difficult to get any religious groups to get involved in politics. I mean, even in the 90s, I remember, there was a lot of hesitation for religious groups to get involved. And you've obviously got the foundations of the United States being separation of church and state, which seems to have been pushed back on. And I'm starting to even wonder that if part of the extreme pushback that we're seeing in the States is down to the fact that numbers are going down. Do you know how many people go to a church on a Sunday in the UK?
Two.
Must be... Yes, I see a few cars outside the church, but I don't think it's more than like, you won't see more than like 10, 15 people there.
About 600,000 across the whole of the UK. I don't know the States. And it used to be a million three in 2000. That's why they're going on TikTok, because they're going, we need to reach out to the youth and try and get people to reconnect the church, because no one's going.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to see. It makes me wonder if part of this thrust that we're seeing with Trump and the evangelical groups, they're terrified of losing their power and their status and being dominant as the religion within that state. Do you think there's any validity in that?
Yeah, I mean, they're on the downswing, aren't they? They always see it as Judeo-Christian values. That's something Ben Shapiro talks about a lot. But I think America is changing. Religion is less important, especially against younger people. So, like, I guarantee the people that go to the church will be, you know, middle-aged people or older people. You won't see a lot of youth there. They'll be doing, you know, whatever kids do nowadays. I don't know. But Fortnite or something. But, like, you know, you won't see, I don't think, like, the only kids you'll see there are ones that have been dragged there by their parents. And they won't care. It's like Bart Simpson at the church. He don't care. Like, you know, when his parents dragged him along, it'd be like that. So I think they are concerned about losing power because demographics are changing and the church, I think, you know, will lose influence in that respect, or the churches in America's case. So, yeah, I kind of see that.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because so much of the, especially the more evangelical and the more sort of right wing, you know, sort of like politically interested kind of Christianity is sort of, I mean, even biblically, they're sort of supposed to be the minority. And the closer we get to the end of days, the sort of smaller and more hard done by that group is supposed to be. So in a way, the numbers of Christians going down should sort of be like, well, this seems to be following our doctrine. Like, you know?
Let's encourage it.
Yeah. Like, oh, we're going to be the minority. If they're going to start legislating against us, then that makes sense based on what I expected from my book. So...
do you think this is part of the reason why we're seeing people shift more into politics and extreme politics to find their community that they've lost?
Maybe.
It was interesting just that, you know, people used to go to church in larger numbers, and that's where you had a community base. And that's obviously dwindling and disappearing. I mean, I know some people that go to church that said they haven't had someone under the age of 40 turn up in the church, like a new person, in 10 years. Which is fucking wild when you think that's going to disappear.
Yeah, when my dad started going to his local village church at early 50s, he was the young man, the exciting young man of the church. That's like the epitome of like small village church that is like literally dying because its constituents are just getting older and no one new is coming. Except for the couple of people who have to get married there. So people will go for a couple of months and then disappear.
I mean, that's a wild thing as well, when you discover that didn't used to be a thing. I think it's the 1400s. Mm. Marriage came into the church. They sort of co-opted it. I think even in America, it was even in the 80s, it was late 1800s. So in America, the tradition was to get married in your house, in your front room in the 1800s.
Smart, cheap, smart. Yeah. Smart people.
Less
do you know where white wedding gowns have come from, where that tradition started?
The fashion industry.
Is it like bedsheets or something?
Romans. It's always the Romans.
I'm just going to guess that from now on. Any quiz game I'm in, it's the Romans.
It's the Romans.
Who invented the telephone? It's like the Romans.
Romans.
Yeah.
Italians. Marconi. Yeah. Queen Victoria. Queen Victoria brought it in because it was really expensive to have white clothing.
Oh.
And then that's where you get a white wedding cake from, because white icing was considered... It's nothing to do with purity, which is something that, again, got co-opted with the church.
Mm.
You need a white dress because you're a virgin. I mean, it's just like, what the fuck?
It's very bizarre.
Yeah. What about reform then? They seem to have gone on this sort of Christian angle recently, being like they're...
I was thinking earlier when we were talking about the sort of Trump Christians, is the thing with the Christian groups that have been very like, I'm voting reform now because of this, I'm sad about the country and this is now we need to get back to British values. It's all, again, the very small C conservative sort of right-leaning Christian groups. That, and I'm wondering if this is just one example of the kind of like, this is just a bit of a split conservative vote with like the formerly groups who have been like conservative large C, small C, but both C's Christian disenfranchised with the Conservative Party and now like petering off to all these smaller parties, and reform is starting to hoover up those more right-wing Christian groups.
Do you think they've got a point when they're saying that Britain's a Christian country though? I mean, I'm obviously just giving you one set of stats that seems to dispel that quite
yeah, rapidly. I think they've got a point in that it's surprising that we are technically a Christian country and we should probably change that. Like, is it about time we change that? There have been calls for that for like 10 years and nothing seems to have happened. I think it's a change that isn't necessary and therefore makes people afraid. Clearly, like, demographically, this is not a Christian nation. Like, we have some Christians. Our Christians aren't that Christian that they would care enough that we're technically a Christian nation with Christian values. And then we have like a whole lovely history of immigration that has brought us many different other minority religions here. And like, we're all, for the most part, pretty secular and like culturally accepting. It would be really weird for us, like, in terms of the actual people, notwithstanding like the political parties, it would be really weird for us to like dig into being a Christian nation. Like, that's the sort of thing that we as a collective look at the US over and go, what are they doing? You know,
I just came back from, it's strange that you say that, I just came back from Clacton, which I was talking to you guys about off air, and I was saying to the majority of them, what do they think of Nigel? And most of them were coming back and going, he's all right, he hasn't done anything to me, blah blah blah.
Such a glowing review. He's never done anything terrible to me personally, so
he's all right.
It's a very low bar in British politics.
It really is. He's never punched me in the face, so I assume he's all right.
I've never had to throw a milkshake at him.
I might have seen the girl who threw the milkshake walking around Clacton. That was great.
Oh,
I didn't pluck up the courage to go and speak.
Was she armed? Was she ready?
Was she ready with milkshakes on the side?
That's how you recognise her. She's like, always got the milkshakes.
Got the milkshake ready. Going to Farage's constituency meeting, be like, Nigel, it's time.
Oh, she so should have gone to McDonald's and gone for an advertising campaign, shouldn't she?
That would have been great.
But as soon as I brought up Musk and Trump, it was like Marmite. They hated him. They might have thought Farage was all right or disliked him, but Musk and Trump, they like.
Was this pre-Nazi salute?
There was one person that was neutral.
Was this pre-Nazi salute or post-Nazi salute from?
When was the Nazi salute? I was there Monday.
Inauguration.
You might have just missed it.
Yeah, potentially. Because it was this week, I'm pretty sure, because I saw it blow up Twitter.
It was this week.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
can't remember if it was on the Monday. I don't think it came up in conversation with anyone.
Yeah, plus you need people to see it.
So it might have been the Tuesday. It was just before the Nazi salute. So that's really interesting. And most of them thought it was like, must, this could apply to both of them, a rich twat. But but basically they were like, yeah, they were focusing on Trump being mad and Musk being rich and up himself, which I thought was a very interesting, somewhat nuanced approach. But you're like, Trump and Farage aren't that dissimilar in their rhetoric. And they were neutral to Farage. And I'm like, is that down to brainwashing in the media?
It might be because he's British. That's why he's on our team. Could be down to that. He's one of our guys.
He's managed to position himself to a lot of people as a man of the people, like a regular old bloke. He goes down the pub and has a pint. You know, he's like, he's one of us. He goes, yeah. Boring. And that's very funny, you know.
He's got some good quotes. Yeah.
Do you think the sort of people that like Farage or are ambivalent to Farage or like Reform but don't like Musk, do you think they know that Musk is trying to support Reform? That there's that relationship?
They might be a bit iffy on it because he did call for Nigel Farage to go. I don't think people are that tuned in. They might have seen like Musk, depending on how much they watch the news, they might have seen Musk potentially donating like 100 million or whatever to the Reform Party. Or they
I thought
might
that
not
was
have.
Pretty big news. Yeah, that's why it surprises me that people wouldn't be pro-Musk and Farage.
I don't know how much people watch the news in political off-seasons like we're in now. And I don't know how much people actually go on Twitter as well, like the like average like middle-aged people. I don't think they're that politically engaged. Like
I don't go on Twitter.
Catch,
as
might
the
catch...
average middle-aged people myself, I don't go on Twitter.
I go on Twitter a lot. I'm chronically... My friend said I am chronically online. That was his comment to me. And I was like trying to think, oh, it's kind of my job because I'm on YouTube. And I was like, no, I've always been like this. So yeah, I'm chronically online, but no, I think people might not have seen it. Like it's been all over Twitter. I think the news cycle has talked about it a bit, but there's not, I don't know how many news channels people actually watch. Like there's Good Morning Britain, people watch that in the morning maybe, or the BBC Breakfast Show, but like in terms of like just thinking about it on a daily, like I don't think people watch news content that much.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
It's funny how they are happy to blame, they didn't sort of push any blame towards Farage. They were happy to attack Musk and Trump, like all of them pretty much, or it was neutral. And then with Keir Starmer, just again there was more hatred. So again, it's like, that's is it just because he's the guy in charge now, or is it because they just don't like his personality? Is the personality the overrider? Because Farage says some funny stuff every so often. It's interesting to try and split apart, because I'm like, Starmer he's been ripped into by the right wing press, and the winter fuel allowance was awful. But overall, it's been a somewhat neutral, boring, like, the economy's just not doing great, but it's pretty difficult to change it within a 6-7 month period. So I'm a bit like, why is there such a hate? There was quite a bit of hatred towards Starmer, but not Farage.
Nigel Farage, they probably see him as like their flawed hero, like the same way like certain people would see Trump in America. Like he's one of us, like, you know, he's trying at least, like at least someone's like doing something for us. Especially given that he chose Clacton, they might see it as like, well, you know, he chose to run here as well. Like he picked us. I think with Starmer, I don't think because, you know, that constituency, they vote Tory. They was Conservative second, Labour was second, but they would be a strong Conservative / Reform bias. I personally don't like Starmer, so I don't blame them for that. They probably dislike him for different reasons, but I think they were never going to like him because, you know, like percentage chance of you actually getting someone to discuss politics like on the street would be someone who's probably voting Conservative or Reform, one of the two, you know, so it makes sense why they wouldn't like him. He, you know, the budget was like, he's not great. And so they would have seen that in the news potentially, because the budget's a major event. And so with Starmer, he has got a lot of negative news stories. There's not much positivity like that they've actually managed to get, you know, like the bond markets, they probably would have seen that because that was a major story. And so I think there's a lack of achievement. The winter fuel allowance definitely as well. So I think I can see why they would not like him given their political leanings anyways.
It's funny you say that because, again, I asked people in Clacton, can they name one thing that Nigel had done for the area? Couldn't name a thing. The only thing they could name, and I said this off air, the only thing they could name was that he bought a house in the area. That was it. In 7 months. There was a burnt-out bus that's been on the seafront since before Christmas.
Oh, God.
No one moved it. You go, like, that's an eyesore for your main tourist attraction. And you just dumped it there.
The cynical, sad at the state of the world part of me thinks that part of the reason that, and again, I also am not a big Starmer fan, but for probably different reasons. And that doesn't help him either, that he's not got a lot of, he sort of doesn't have that much support on either end of the political spectrum. But that aside, I sort of think that a lot of people probably, like Madge said, aren't clued into politics, not that reading the news. They don't really know what has or hasn't been done. But Keir Starmer's in charge, so he's in the news more, and the headlines that they'll see are going to be more negative, whereas Farage isn't really in the news unless something funny has happened. And he's just sort of like, you know, he's sort of a spurious, like, vague amorphous blob out there trying, you know, trying to do his work for the people with nothing really specific, but Keir Starmer is here in the headlines and we don't like him. So I kind of, it just sort of a bit makes me think of whenever I used to talk to my grandparents and they would just sort of like retort whatever the latest Daily Mail headline was in a way that sounded really furious and clued in. But as soon as you start like probing into that, you'd be like, what are you talking about there? But I don't know. It was the headline. So I feel very strongly about it.
And just believe it instantly. How it
is. Yeah.
There is a religious element within that description of what you just read the headlines, not the fine print, and then get furiously angry about nothing.
Yeah.
That's what they're designed to do. Rich. No, I was going to say, I think with Farage, he's not been in the news a lot. You know, it's just the Elon Musk stuff with the donation. And then you had the bit where Musk said, he needs to go. I've only really seen Politics Joe cover that stuff because they did a load of interviews with some of the reform voters at an event. Farage hasn't been in the news that much. He's been on Question Time, I think, once, which once in the last 6 months, which is rare given that he's got a season pass on that show. But he seems to not be doing much. Like he's not in Parliament that much. You know, that the Stockport stabber, he was sentenced. I didn't see Farage really discuss it. Maybe I need to follow him properly on Twitter and see what he's up to. But I don't know, man. I haven't seen like him or Tice that much on the news. It feels like they're keeping a low profile for now. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe it's because I'm seeing them so much on Twitter. And like, obviously, it's being pushed forward. And it wouldn't surprise me if Musk is pushing them forward as well on Twitter and helping their algorithm. I mean, he does it for his own channel, it turns out. That's why it's so big.
That's the biggest support Musk could give them. It's not money. It's the algorithm. Because we saw that with Brexit, you know, we saw the algorithm really do damage to people in terms of the way they were going to vote on two different levels, really stopping them voting or trying to turn their vote. So I think that's what he'll probably give them if he gets the chance. But then the EU are trying to get into the algorithm because they're trying to influence the German election. So, you know, there is work going on in that. It's just a shame they might use different algorithms for different countries. No, they probably do, actually, because certain countries ban things like Facebook unless they play ball. So it's very likely they'll use a different algorithm for the UK versus ones they would use in the EU, for example. But I don't know. I feel like Farage has kept a lower profile. I think then again, though, they did call it the Farage riot. So I guess in this news cycle, he wouldn't want to be prominent in it because he was a guy saying, well, I'm just asking questions, guys. He could be a Muslim immigrant from Rwanda. And then, you know, the riots happened. And then it turns out that wasn't true at all.
I mean, there's literally an Eric Cartman storyline along that literally carbon copy where Cartman becomes like the morning news reader in South Park at his school. And he just asks questions. And they're really messed up questions, but it seems to absolve him from any responsibility. Like, why is Wendy, is Wendy Testerberger buying heroin? I don't know, but she could be. And if she is, what does that say about the moral of the school that she's influencing?
What has happened to our school? This school is transforming into something very bad. And why? Because we have leadership that doesn't care.
Yes, the art of asking questions without giving answers and leaving it somewhat up in the air as to what you're really saying, stopping you from being held accountable for what you've said.
That's a question.
I asked a very simple question.
I'm asking questions.
I asked the question.
I'm asking questions.
Because the people wanted to know the truth.
Because I'm brave enough to ask questions, I come under scrutinies. Your teachers don't want to tell you, but they are scared, and they should be, because the very fabric of this elementary school is tearing from all corners.
Where have we heard that before?
But I'm worried. Not just about the events in Southport, but about societal decline that is happening in our country. Law and order, folks, on our streets is breaking down.
To the streets and march in unwavering support of this important movie.
Carmen in the episode Passion of the Jew unfortunately decides to interpret the movie in such a way that he tries to rally people to his cause and marches through the streets chanting Nazi war songs.
When I say, es ist Zeit zu sauren, you all chant back, we're moving the Juden as rotten!
You might ask, what's this got to do with Nigel? That's a great question.
Farage and others had marched through a quiet Sussex village very late at night, shouting Hitler Youth songs.
Where would Nigel learn Nazi songs like that? Does he still sing those Nazi songs? We don't know. We're just asking questions. And then have a listen to this.
So you think it was, if he did do that, it was all a bit of a joke?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Yes, and I said so at the time.
So he did do that, did he? He did express support for groups like that.
Oh, I think so, yes, among his contemporaries.
There are about 6 million Jewish people living in America, so as a percentage it's quite small, but in terms of influence, it's quite big.
People were so enraged they tried to get Nigel off the air. But interestingly, Eric Cartman said the same thing.
Mr. Cartman, did you or did you not tell students at this school that Kyle runs Hollywood?
I think I did say that, yes. I'm sorry, why is it so offensive to say who runs Hollywood? People like Hollywood. Hollywood's cute. The Jews should be honored to be in charge of it.
Hey!
That's how Pizzagate happened. You know, Alex Jones was talking about this specific pizza place that Democrats go to where, you know, there's PDF files. And then saying someone needs to do something. And some guy went in there and tried to do something about it. All you do is you ask questions, you make insinuations enough where you don't get into trouble, especially because we have different libel laws and defamation laws in the UK. But you do enough to say, oh, you know, what if he's this kind of person? You know, what does that say about our immigration laws and our police and all of this stuff, right? There needs to be a... That's what he's doing about the grooming gangs. He goes, well, you know, there was a case that went across Starmer's desk, allegedly, and Starmer didn't investigate it. And, you know, we don't know what happened with that. And you're like, your source is literally, you made it the fuck up. Like, that's your source. You have no idea. And it's like, serious questions need to be asked about this. And therefore, he's asked the question. He's made a statement, asked the question, and he gets away scot-free. He always does that.
I'll fucking further that, because the Archbishop got caught protecting what appears to be either a paedophile or someone who's committed sexual assault. Nothing's been done about Epstein. All the people that covered up Savile have never been brought to account. Prince Andrew's connection to Epstein means he's the brother of the head of the church. The Archbishop of Canterbury is not the head of the church. The king is. It's all been covered up. I then did a video recently and looked at all these young children's homes that have been connected to paedophile gangs. There's 6 or 7. Some of the kids in there on record saying that they were taken to VIP parties in London from the homes. So someone knew someone within the home and convinced them to send young boys to that. It appears to be young boys. May well be different, to these parties in London. And basically they were told, in the accounts that I've listened to, they were told, go to this party and you'll actually have a nice time, because the rest of the year it's shit because you're in a home and we don't give a fuck about you. And you're going, no investigation's been done to that. Yeah. And I said at the end of my video, and it's just before Yvette Cooper made the announcement, I said in that video, nothing's going to be announced in terms of investigating all of that, because it's across the country and it's all over the place. And it seems to have a religious connection and a parliamentary connection. Even the police said that if Ted Heath was alive now, our former prime minister, they'd have pulled him in for questioning. That's fucking serious. Nigel Farage and all of that ilk have never said a fucking word about any of that. And it seems to be endemic across the country. I think even in Northern Ireland, I'll let you in, Madge. Sorry, I am ranting here, but I'm fucking pissed off about it. Because it means that you're absolving this entire group of people from any responsibility and you're not investigating it. There have been claims that MI5 were linked to one of the grooming gangs in Northern Ireland, and that they were using it to catch Northern Ireland terrorists, or people they deemed to be terrorists, or people of interest. There's an allegation that's never been investigated. Then you looked into those investigations that were done, loads of evidence went missing. Loads. I think 3 investigations I found. 3 investigations had missing evidence. And you might go, it's pretty serious that you would lose evidence since the 70s and 80s on grooming gangs. And you're going, this is, and you never hear anything. Sorry, have I?
No, it's fine.
Yeah,
I think
pretty passionate,
you know,
about it.
You know, like, you had members of the EDL gang who say they're against PDF files, but then you have members of that gang who are.
If there's one thing that becomes clear in Tommy's history, it's that he is definitely principally opposed to nonces. Can't stand them. The abuse of women and children in Tommy's eyes is a moral abomination and should never be tolerated at all. His close friend Richard Price was convicted of possessing crack cocaine, and 4 indecent images of children that he downloaded from the onlines. Tommy, displaying his opposition to noncery, condemned Price when he admitted to 4 counts of making indecent images of children. Oh, wait, sorry. I mean, Tommy campaigned with other EDL members to win justice for Richard Price. He supported him even after he admitted that he was charged with creating the images. Here's a post from the EDL at the time telling everyone that it was because he bought a second-hand computer, it wasn't, and that, also, the images weren't even that bad. That's not all either. On screen now is a list of EDL members and their splinter organisations that have been exposed as being sex offenders. Now, I would love to also show you instances of Tommy condemning these people and saying that there's no place for them in the EDL. but there isn't one. Tommy hasn't so much as whispered their names.
Who are that? And I think once they implement the the findings of the Jane Query, I think they should have another investigation into it. You have children's homes that are very insecure, privatised. No idea what's going on with that. You have massive amounts of kids running away from these places. No idea what's going on with that. So I would support a national inquiry into that stuff. If it's a national inquiry, which goes into everything, and anyone who's found guilty of cover-ups gets arrested, that's it. You lose your job. Like I watched Sophie Rich talk about how come no one's lost their job over this or gone to prison about previous inquiries. It's like it's designed to protect people because it's the system that failed. And all of these politicians are part of that system. You know, I've never heard Nigel Farage talk about grooming gangs before this.
No, never. And
so now it's a political football that because of Elon Musk and the other goons have brought it up. It's like, I want them to talk about all of it, everyone who's involved. I don't care, you know, what minority background they're from, you know, if they're born here, wherever. All of it needs to be looked at. And all the systems that failed kids need to be looked at. Because this country does have a problem with PDF files. A lot of countries do. But if they want a serious conversation about it, they should have it. We should have it. You know, spend money, get an inquiry done. We know what Boris Johnson thought about inquiries into predators and things like that. He didn't like it. So, you know, the idea the Conservative Party are going to be like that. I saw Jenrick talking about how the court system's broken. And it's like, who broke it, you idiot? It was you. Absolute moron. Do you know what I mean? And that's why, like, this stuff's so frustrating because, you know, you can see it all breaking apart. And these guys are talking about, oh, we need to see a national inquiry. Is that cool? But, you know, your friends might get tied up in that. I hope you're okay with it.
Prince Andrew has photographic evidence given to the police of him with a woman who was claiming she was trafficked to him, which is illegal, and nothing happened. And I think they cited there wasn't enough evidence. And you're going, right, so you're just protecting the monarchy then. That's it. I mean, we know that because we saw the arrest, didn't we, in the anti-monarchy protests. And the arrests were made before the protests actually took place, which is literally like 1984 stuff.
Off a comment you made earlier about, you know, the country being a Christian country, and that's a legacy thing. I think that we do need to have a serious conversation around where the country is actually heading and what country we want to be in. Like my favorite TV show, politics TV show, is The Revelation Should Be Televised. And one of the characters was, we're not on TV, are we? Are we on TV? When we're on TV, this is the best show.
YouTube
on TV,
is right? The new TV.
Nah, it's not the same. Anyways, he had a character called Dale Maley, right? And he would go up to people and ask like random right-wing questions. Like honestly, one of the best like characters I've ever seen, fictional. And he goes, oh, they want to turn Buckingham Palace into a mosque. And people are like, no, I don't think that's a good idea. And he just made it up and he riled up people on the most nonsense thing. I was like, that's how dumb people are. But that's what I mean. Like, they need to have a serious conversation around things like monarchy and things like that. Not, you know, turning Buckingham Palace into a mosque. Be a very nice mosque. But point being is like, you know, like with the monarchy being protected, you know, like the fact he settled out of court as well. With one of the victims, the one that he was pictured with, the fact that when we had an interview, it was international. My friends from, you know, they were my uni friends from the Czech Republic. They were like, "How do we watch this? We need to find this." The one with Mateless, and he was just like, "Yeah, I never sweat." And you're like, "What?" And it's like, "No, I was at a Pizza Express in Woking." I'm like, "How do you know that? I don't know what I did last week." Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you knew exactly where you were at Pizza Express in Woking, the specific place and time. It is crazy to me. And that's what I mean. They caught this guy in 4K. His defense was ridiculous. And he should, you know, I think if there's credible evidence to it, which we've discussed, I think there is, he should get pulled up in court. You know, like there should be a lot of famous people who will get caught up in this. No, the Diddy stuff as well. Like there should be a lot of famous people pulled into that because that guy was prolific. He was all over Hollywood.
Did you see the tweet that went out from some of Diddy's mates that was like a warning shot involving... I'm going to butcher how... I'll just have to paraphrase it. Essentially, it said, bear in mind who you're friends with and who your friends are. And it was one of Diddy's close friends. And then he literally posted all these images of major celebrities. And you were just... It was almost like a sense that Diddy did the exact same thing with Epstein.
Yeah.
And had, like, essentially sex parties and film people. And probably with underage, from what we've seen or understood.
Well, drugged. People that are drugged as well. Yeah. I've seen the lawsuit that Cassie, I think her name's Cassie Ventura, filed against him. That shit's gnarly. Like, there's a video of him assaulting her in a hotel that someone leaked to TMZ. Like, I should apologize. I've kind of gone over a lot of this, but it's crazy to me. Like, have a serious conversation around this stuff. Sure, 100%, I'll be there. But you know, if you want to focus on specific groups in specific towns, you're not going to solve this problem. Because this is the system that failed. People that were told, you know, victims who told the police, this is what happened, and the police didn't care. They didn't see these witnesses as credible. That's one of the things that I will give Starmer credit for. He did change some of the rules around the CPS to get these guys punished, but it wasn't enough. And it's not his fault. It's the politicians that failed, because I wouldn't be surprised if some of these people were from the two main political parties that let these kids down, and they don't want to be tied up in it, because this stuff, it doesn't wash off. It doesn't wash off. You have Thatcher pictured with Savile. Do you know what I mean? Like, how come no one's talked about that? Like, what did she know? What did people know about it?
I think her press secretary warned her about Savile, and she didn't pay attention to it. I think that's in his autobiography where he mentions that, which is interesting, because there's always this element with those photographs that you see. I think Musk is photographed with Epstein as well, isn't he? And you're sort of like, you could just be some celebrity thing and he's there and you take a photo. I think the big difference, though, with that, and we've gone full circle back onto Trump is literally there dancing with him.
Yeah, and he says that, like, this is my friend Epstein. He likes them younger.
Emma, you've been quiet. Have we gone down the rabbit hole? Conspiracy theory? Are you about to
I'm just a bit depressed. You bummed me out. I think I struggle to see a way out of these systemic problems when it I don't want to get too conspiracy theory, but it seems like the system is so saturated with people who don't want to be, who have some association with these problems and don't want to be associated with it, that there's always this resistance to actual change. I slight tangent, but it just made me think of it. Pope Francis, his autobiography or biography, I don't know if he's probably not written it, I don't know. But his biography's just out or coming out. And in it, he talks about receiving from the last Pope the big box of bad, a big white box that contains all of the horrible things that the Catholic Church has essentially covered up. And you know, Pope Francis is all, he's, you know, removed these people and blah, 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 and I've got to continue his work. And then he never again mentions it or talks about any of what was in there. And I just, for me, there's this sort of weird kind of disconnect where it's like, yeah, there's this horrible corruption where, like, people in our organization, people in our political party, people in our whatever have done these horrible, horrible things, and it's terrible. Well, that's that. And you're just like, but are we going to talk about it maybe? And should we, like, talk a little bit more? Like, there's probably a lot of victims out there that we should, like, be... I think the Catholic Church is probably, like, not a bad example of why it doesn't want to be publicized, because too many people that are basically responsible for the organization would be involved and would be, you know, damaged by it. So we just...
It's one of those things, though, if you don't do it, then it'll happen again. That's
yeah, of course.
And so you're going, you're just... It's that old analogy of, do you let go of the balloon as you're raising up into the air? And it's like, well, in this case, yes. You let go and you go full investigation and you show the transparency to clear out the problem. And until you do that, you're just going to have the... Oh, just because you brought up the Pope, do you want a story on Mussolini and the Pope? Because we sort of touched on it earlier. Mussolini comes in, he does the Concordat, which allows the Pope to... It's meant to settle the Roman question about the Roman Catholic Church and its position in Italy. And essentially it gives, you know, the Vatican its own status as a country, as well as a few other properties around Italy. And within that, the Pope then... Mussolini thinks that's the end of it, and he's got the Catholic Church on side, and he's done one big thing for him, and he can get on with doing everything he wants within Italy. Except the Pope doesn't let go. And apologies, I can't think of the name of the Pope at the time, but he starts demanding more and more from Mussolini. So he starts saying that the Catholic Church should be embedded in education in Italy. And he starts demanding that crosses be put into every single classroom. And of course, this is quite conflicting with Mussolini, who wants a fascistic, superior race of Italians coming through, and yet they're being taught Christian ideals within the classroom, which he wants to convert into a fascistic ideology. This continues for a while, and Mussolini draws the line when the Pope writes to him to complain about women wearing bikinis on the beach. That's Mussolini's line. And Mussolini wrote back to the Pope and said, I think you should concentrate on the issues that you've got with little children and the church, less so than women with bikinis. And that was the end of that. And it sort of completely terminated it. But you're like, so he knew what was going on, didn't do anything about it. And I thought, as a dictator, I thought that was a bit weird, because you're like, you want complete control. You've got this huge thing that you could use to cripple the church, but you won't do it until they start complaining about women wearing bikinis. And you're like, there's so much weirdness within that, but it also shows how far back it goes. That's the 1930s, 20s, he's aware of this. And now you're talking about some box containing information about all the bad stuff. I'm just going, it can't just be one box, surely.
No, well, this is probably the Precy box. It's like box. Checklists, yeah.
That's what I mean. It would damage them a lot if this came out, but eventually it does. This stuff always comes out, and that's the problem. Like, it makes it worse.
I think YouTube's done a job with that. That's the only reason I found out about these homes, because people going out and interviewing people who were in these orphanages or homes, and they were then coming out and saying these stories, and it was like, why are the BBC not following this up? Why have they not done that? Why have ITV not done that? And it begs that question. I mean, like, Savile was protected. We know that. Like, Johnny Rotten came out and made a comment, which was edited, and then it was pushed under the carpet, and no one ever said anything. No one from the BBC's ever been.
So who else is on the goner list?
Oh, it's endless, believe me. I just want to make a film of it. On film, I'd like to kill Jimmy Savile. I think he's a hypocrite.
Weren't I right?
I bet he's into all kinds of seediness that we all know about but are not allowed to talk about. I know some rumours. I bet none of this will be allowed out.
I shouldn't imagine libelous stuff will be allowed out.
Nothing I said is libel.
Prosecuted or investigated by knowledge and covering this up, have they?
Mm-hmm. This is why I support that new legislation. I think it's 100% true. If you know something has happened and you fail to report it, You should lose your job, and you should face jail time as well, because you've enabled this without, you know, you've helped to enable serious crimes here. But I think there needs to be a broader inquiry into this stuff. Implement the recommendations, do another inquiry, and actually look at the state of a lot of these institutions, because there are massive cover-ups. Because all they'll say to the parents is, look, you know, we can offer you a financial settlement, but if you go ahead with this, it's going to bring the church into disrepute. It's going to cause a lot of problems. And, you know, fundamentally, like, you know, you're a religious person, why would you want to impact the church? That's all they'll say. And they'll gaslight him into it. And then the priest or whoever is disinvolved, they get moved on. They get moved to another town or to another area where no one knows what's happened. And they'll do it again because there's no punishment.
Well, that's what happened with the Archbishop, wasn't it? The guy got moved on district.
Yeah.
And then sort of protected. I mean, you've always had that. You had that since the classic Father Ted series. They're all chucked onto Craggy Island because they're out of the way, and there's a limited amount of damage that they could do. So we've always sort of known about it, and it's funny that it's always been the public ethos and awareness, and yet nothing's ever been done.
That's one of the great things about the internet, though, because people just go out and talk to people like you've just done in Clacton. People actually go out and find victims and actually discuss stuff with them and say, like, you know, what happened here.
Have you just called the people of Clacton victims of Nigel Farage?
On this issue, I prefer not to speak. If I speak, big trouble, and I don't want to be in big trouble. You know, in situations like this, I remember that Jose Mourinho's quote, and I live by it. But no, what I'm saying is, like, at least they go out. Like, you know, one of the things that, like, is good about citizen media, I guess, is it's very cheap now. You can go with your phone, you can buy a cheap mic, you know, you're talking about less than 100 quid, and you can go out and you can film. You just need a mate, you should go out and film stuff, talk to people, and just say, like, you know, what's happened here, and you let people tell their story and say, look, you know, I was a victim or whatever, I did speak to someone, nothing was done about it, and then you hope you get broader media traction from that. But then, you know, like you said, certain news outlets, for whatever reason, I get why the BBC wouldn't cover this stuff, because they've, you know, they had a guy recently who worked there who I think had indecent images or something like that, or, you know, like, it wouldn't surprise me. But ITV, you know, these other news orgs, it's sad, isn't it? And that's why nothing gets done, because the whole reason we're having this conversation now is because, ironically, because of Elon Musk. That's it. This conversation would not be happening. The Labour Party would have probably done the recommendation from the inquiry, and it would have just been swept, kind of done quietly, the legislation. But that's how
only,
it would have gone.
It's only done to a group, a specific group.
Yeah.
It's not the whole problem, which he's won't, part of it. None of them will talk about. Epstein's literally got a house here, then he was flying over here with people. No one's ever been arrested. In fact, let's go Epstein in America. Who's been arrested other than Maxwell? She was grooming people. and bringing those people to other people. No one's been arrested. And then Epstein, in my opinion, was clearly whacked in prison. There was an expert that came out, I think it was hired by the Epstein family, to do an analysis of the neck break.
Autopsy on Jeffrey Epstein has uncovered injuries usually found in homicide cases. The Washington Post reports there were broken bones in Epstein's neck, deepening the questions surrounding his death in jail. The injuries are more commonly associated with homicidal strangulation than suicidal hanging.
And the neck break is different if you're strangled compared to if you're hung. So I think if you're hung, it goes up. And if you're strangled, God, this is really morbid. If you're strangled, it's at a lower level. And the part of your neck breaks down here, which is what the expert found. He said that the break was down here, not up here if you were hung. And therefore, it was a strangulation. And therefore, he was whacked. And of course, you've got all the other weird things, like the cameras were off. And did you see the guy that they put him in a room with? Have you seen the image of him? He's on steroids. He's an ex-officer that killed someone. And they put him in a room with Epstein.
I'm going to go
and
on record.
The muscles are like the size of my head. He's absolutely jacked. And that's who they put in there.
I don't think he took his life. I don't think he took his own life. I think they had him killed. Like, he knew way too much. He knew way too much, honestly. So I don't think it went down like that. I'll be honest, you know, the fact that Trump says, you know, I don't know much about Maxwell, but I hope she's okay.
Elaine Maxwell is in prison, and so a lot of people want to know if she's going to turn in powerful people. And I know you've talked in the past about Prince Andrew, and you've criticized Bill Clinton's behavior. I'm wondering, do you feel that she's going to turn in powerful men? How do you see that working out?
I don't know. I haven't really been following it too much. I just wish her well, frankly.
And it's like, my man, she groomed people, like kids, like... Like, what are you talking about? Like, I hope she fares well. Like, no, I hope she fares badly. She's a bad person.
And yet, he gets away with it as well for saying stuff like that, which is also wild.
He says so much mad shit. That's how he gets away with stuff. Is the Boris Johnson quote when he goes, you know, if I get involved in a scandal, I just put out so much stuff that people don't know what to focus on. And that's what Trump specialized in. He just puts out so much nonsense where you don't know where to focus on. And that's something that's been a big problem with the media, because people just get bored.
I think his press secretary came out yesterday and said that. Like, he knows what he said. Oh, it's Scaramucci, yeah.
We would come up from the campaign rally. We'd go back up onto the plane. I'd look over at him and say, what the hell did you say that for? That wasn't anywhere near the truth. He would be loosening that red tie and getting himself another shirt. He always changed shirts in between these rallies. And he would say, what the hell difference does it make? No one cares. And in fact, if I say it often enough, people will believe it. He told Leslie Stahl that. You know, he said that if I just keep repeating it, there's a large enough group of people. Trump is a smart guy. People shouldn't underestimate him. He once said to me, you know, a billion people know who I am. A half of a billion of those people hate my effing guts. He goes, but think of the possibilities on the other half a billion. And he's selling them Bibles and Bitcoins and all different types of things. So I guess the point is, Trump make it worse for all of us, because now politicians look at this and say, okay, all politicians lie. You know, that's the same way you and I are breathing. But now Trump has like made it even bigger.
Which is wild when you start going, right, so he's smart enough to be aware enough of the fact that he's spouting bullshit, and the people who work with him are saying it has no effect. Maxwell has no effect. COVID had no effect. People still just think that he is a form of messiah, essentially.
I feel like that ties us very well back to the beginning, where the sort of overall message here is that a story, however devastating, however like endemic a problem, doesn't matter until it's a political football used by some media organization or some politician with enough traction to make it a thing. And then it only matters through the lens with which people absorb that story, whether that is via a headline or a tweet or whatever, which is a very depressing conclusion to come to. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think it's about narrative as well. Like, you know, we saw the winter fuel allowance as well. Like, you know, they should have done better to protect poorer pensioners. But the media kind of just spun it as Labour taking money from old people, and people just went nuts because it's all about framing.
Yeah.
Because people are stupid. You can end on that. You can end on that. That's fine.
Do we end on that note?
Yeah, people are stupid. I'll double down. I'll say it again if I have to. I'll say it again if I have to.
Hey, man, Socrates had a similar criticism, so.
Yeah. And that man knew a few things.
Yeah. And he knew a few things. Yeah. Still talks about to this day. I'll tell you what, we are going to end there. Emma, thank you so much for coming on. Madge, Thank you. Thank you to all of our listeners. If you got this far in the video, please hit that like and subscribe button. Emma's channel and Madge's channel are linked in the description. Thank you very much, guys.
Alex, is your channel in the description as well?
My channel is also in the description.
You.
Next week for another exciting story from the files of Police Squad.
Emma, would you rather have a day in the lift with Nigel Farage or publicly announce your love for Piers Morgan?
I mean,
you've only got to tweet it once with Piers.
You're true. But it's how many milkshakes have I got on me?
As many as you want.
I feel like the suffering is greater there, but the opportunity to cause suffering is also great.
That sounded so fucking evil.
Quite sinister.
if you're going to be in there all day, I would not throw milkshakes at him until the end of the day.
Yeah, that's going to
smell.
Point.
It's smell real
a good
bad.
Point. Yeah. I could spend the day convincing him that I'm a really big fan so that when, you know, it's all over, I'll be like, ha ha, you fool. And I start throwing all the milkshakes I've got hidden in my pockets. So that's, yeah. That's
so it's a day on the left with Nigel. As long as
that's what I'm going for.
It's crazy.
Madge, you've got to tweet how much you love Musk for 1 year.
All right.
Or you go without the internet for 6 months.
I'm tweeting about Musk.
So about Musk. Fast.
I'm tweeting about Musk.
You really are chronically online.
Oh, no idea. Trust me. I'm not. I can't. First of all, I can't do YouTube without being on the internet. And secondly, yeah, like I'm just, yeah, I'm on YouTube, like just listening to stuff all day. So I couldn't do that. It'd be very beneficial for me to do that. And I'd be a very different person after 6 months. Probably a much better person, but no. No,
we all
that.
Would. I'm sure we all would.
I'll be like, hey guys, what's going on in the world? It's like, oh my God, the economy's on fire. What the hell's happened? what did I miss?
You emerge from your mud hut just like, yeah. Ah.
Now, what do you mean Trump's invaded Greenland? When? I'd just be confused about everything. I'd be like, I've missed so much in 6 months.